So you can kick it on when you want to, praise God. Because I've learned over my few years walking with the Lord that believing God, truly believe, I don't care if it's in your marriage, I don't care if it's in your finances, if it's in your vehicle mess, I don't care what area it's in, I have found that if you really, really get down and you really trust God, miracles happen for you. Praise God. I can truly say in my life what the psalmist said in Psalms 27, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in my marriage, in my finances, in my life, in my ministry, in my family. I would have lost heart. I would have quit had I not believed God. And I am thankful today that I believed God in my marriage. I believed God in my finances. And I'm telling you, I've got a good marriage. I even said that when it wasn't good. What are we supposed to do? The Bible says that we live and walk by what? Faith. See, I find that God's people, some of God's people in this last hour, they are seeking out the will of God for their life. They're seeking, God, what's your will? God, how do I do? God, help me, like Teresa was talking about. You know? And those people, how many knows that faith begins in your, sometimes we don't understand how important faith is. Faith is just something that sometimes is thrown around in the church. Well, didn't it? I had a guy one time, he says, I wrote a faith tithe check. I said, what do you mean? You ain't got the money in there? He said, no, it's not. I said, that's not faith. I said, you got faith messed up. I said, that's ignorant. I said, now I'm going to tell you the truth. You don't write God a bad check. Come on, somebody. I mean, he had faith messed up. Faith is not, I'm going to write a tithe check and knowing that you don't get paid till next Friday and believe God that somehow it's going to drop in your banking account between Friday and next Friday. That's not faith. I'm just telling you an example. Sometimes people get faith messed up with this goofy, devilish idea that faith is not the force of God, that faith is just wishing. Faith is just, oh no, I know you're going to have a baby. It's, you know how I know? It's God's will that you have children. Now I got faith because... How come I got faith in that? Because I know the will of God. Faith begins where you find out the will of God is for your life. How are you going to find out? The primary way that God reveals His will, where you go to college, kiddos. You might want to go to Hansville because it's closer. He might want you over yonder... ORU. He might want you in Tulsa, Oklahoma, learning the Bible. Do you want to go learn how to be a hairdresser? He might want you to be a preacher. See, you got to find the will of God. Finding the will of God. I primarily begin to find out, though, and I'm telling you right now, I don't know everything, but the most areas of my life, I have got in that Bible and I have found out what God's will was. I found out that it was God's will for He hated divorce, and I'm telling you, bless God, 39 years, I want to divorce her and get rid of her and get me somebody else a bunch of times. So don't give me this, you don't know. You're just faith, man. I don't care. You know, I found out the will of God, so I thought, God, I'm going to stick with her until you get her straightened out. And He's still doing it 39 years later. I'm like, God, why don't you just zap her? See, God wants me and you to have some endurance. Say endurance. He wants you to be able to endure hardship. Come on, somebody. We can't be these faith Christians that tries to faith everything away and ain't got no endurance to believe God to work in this mess that I'm in and me stay in it till I come out. That is why the preaching of the gospel, that is why I am 100% convinced that every one of you and every one of you listening in your living room this morning needs to be faithful, steadfast in the kingdom, in coming to church and finding your part and asking God, what am I supposed to be doing, God? Then you will find your true God-given purpose, and then you will find true joy and happiness, even if you're on the riverbank and ain't catching nothing. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith has got my marriage still together 39 years later. I'm not leaving God out. You don't get the God kind of faith by yourself. He gives it to you. And then as you find His will, He puts faith in there. Faith is the force that when you find the will of God that is there, even though the promise might not have manifested in your life, it is there to carry you through the troubled waters, up the mountain, down the mountain, to the other side. You can't see the promise. You don't know which mountain, but you're going on down that one and you go climb another one. Faith gives you the endurance. Motivates you. Israel is strategically using this attack. They going after Iran. They moving all their forces to the north now. They done took over the Gaza. This give them, they're going after, they think old covenant. They think old school. We think mercy and grace. They think there's a time for war. There's a time to pluck up. They're still waiting on Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus like me and you believe in Jesus. You got it? They don't believe He's already come. They're waiting on Him. He done been here and left, and we waiting on Him to come back. But you know what? Their mind is set. God loves them and they know it. But their mind is set to take this enemy out. Their mind is set, whatever the cost is, this enemy is not going to do this ever again when we get done with him. Now, I'm bringing this over to this thing called our walk with God. We ain't going to have nothing but God's will in our life. Jesus, the cross for Jesus was sacrifice. The cross represents sacrifice. That's why God told me in the Word, I don't know about you if you got the same Bible. Some of you got some of them Bibles. They done got the Word clean out. The Word ain't to take up your cross and follow me. That's not in some of y'all's Bible. If it is, when you get, oh God, I don't like that. Take up your cross. What does that mean? Don't cuss your husband out tomorrow. I told Travis Friday, Saturday at the men's meeting. And by the way, we got one good anointed teacher. Hallelujah. That's got the anointing, Monty Hall. I just put him all over the world. That's how good the anointing is Saturday. He gonna be his grandkid get up and they're gonna be like, "You've been on YouTube, Papa?" He goes, "Yeah, go look me up, baby. I was a greenhorn, but I was under the anointing." Monty sharpens me. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. See, I don't think that I know more than Monty, although I've been Monty's pastor for 10 years or however long, because he knows the same God I know. And he gets wisdom from the same well I get it from. See, if you think you're the brightest bub in the box, you ain't been around no bright bubs. They's 30 watt. They're 60. Now they got to come up with this LED stuff. Ooh, they're bright. They got 5,000 lumens. I mean, one. I used to have five lights in my little shop. Now all it needs one, Johnny, and it don't eat much. See, I thought my shop was pretty light until I run across them lights and I got me one. And I put it in there and now I can see. I'm like, oh man, I've been walking in the dark although there was light in here. Well, that's the way the Word does. It comes and it begins to give you a dimension. It takes you into another dimension. It takes you into the will of God. And then once you find out the will of God, yes, you got to march, soldier. Yes, you need to be fasting at least once a week. Oh, God, He's bringing that fasting up. You're the one. You're the one that God's chose. You're the one because everything in you, in your flesh man, is going to resist the will of God. It's going to resist it. It's going to resist it because our flesh don't really like the things of God. But see, mine does now because I've trained it. I've trained it to fast every week. Teresa called me the other morning. I think it was Monday morning. She's really sweet, man. I mean, you know, she's always been sweet, but man, I'm telling you, God is making a peach cobbler out of her, man. I told her she was my rose. See, roses has thorns. But I got to change that, Johnny. I really like peach cobbler. So, you know, she's turning into a peach cobbler. Hallelujah, praise God. But you know what's happening? She's finding the will of God. And the will of God is bringing revelation to her. When you find the will of God, faith comes. Now she can enjoy her life. She can enjoy her marriage. She can enjoy her washing dishes. She can enjoy my dirty. When I get a project going on, mine's sawdust right now. It's usually grease. But mine's sawdust, man. I mean, when I get up there, I get in the sawdust, man. I mean, if I'm cutting wood, I mean, you're supposed to stand over, but I get right where it's coming on me because I'm in the action. And then I'm planing lumber. I'm planing lumber with a planer, Johnny. And I can't, it's too slow. I got it in high gear. It's got a low and a high that runs through there, and it just gets smooths that board down, you know. And I'm running around there, and I'm trying to help it on out. And so it's throwing it all over me. So I've got a back porch. It's full of y'all ladies would know, don't walk through the house full of wood shavings. I mean, you leave a trail all the way to the bathroom and on every rug and all that. But you know what? I walked up there the other day and thought, gosh, she needs to clean this mess up. And then all of a sudden I thought, well, I made it. Praise the Lord. I don't wait on Teresa to get everything, you know, unjacked up before I'm going to enjoy life. She don't need to wait on me to get all my stuff together before she enjoys her life. You can enjoy your life when you're walking in the will of God. You can enjoy your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, finding the will of God is I don't understand. I'm just confused about how many, have you asked God? Told a guy one time, I said, well, you know, we'll pray about it. He said, has it come to that? And he's a Christian. I'm like, what? What do you mean, has it come down to prayer? And I thought to myself, no wonder people's lives are jacked up. If a lot of Christians are like this, you mean it's come down, I got to pray about my marriage? Some of y'all, you need to get a handkerchief. Handkerchief, did I say that right? Handkerchief. And you need to anoint that handkerchief. And you need to take that handkerchief over there to your son's room. Don't let him know nothing about the handkerchief. Don't let him know nothing. We ain't looking to you, or you ain't looking to you. And carry that, they anointed handkerchiefs with the Apostle Paul. People were healed. And if they's demonic spirits, because the Lord ain't really showed nothing, so we don't know. It looks like it. Well, take a handkerchief and poke it in there somewhere. Hallelujah. In that room, take authority. We've already with you. We're with you. He's going to be set free. Hallelujah. You need to fast. Every one of us need to fast. I know the kids don't like it. We don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack. I love you. I need you in the will of God. I need you to hear what the Word is saying here. You are my legacy. You and y'all of y'all. That God, y'all are the legacy that I'm going to leave behind. I'm not up here just enjoying myself pastoring. I'm up here following the will of God, doing the will of God, sacrifice. See, look, the cross for you is going to be sacrificed. You are going to have to sacrifice. You are going, it's going to require sacrifice for you to serve the Lord. And I don't know what you're going to have to sacrifice. I don't know. I don't have no idea, but I'm telling you that the cross represents sacrifice. But it also represents victory. So fast this week. You don't need to be popular in school. I wish I was back in school. I don't need to be popular. I have revival going on lunchtime. But God, there ain't nobody going to want to sit around me. I'm full of God here. I go in the jails down there, and I'm thinking, I don't care. You know, they can all be jacked up in the floor up. They're not in here going to Sunday school. Probably ain't never been to church, some of them. Praise God, and I thought, I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to demonic spirits. I'm bringing in the anointing. See, when you go to school and you've been fasting before the Lord and you've been seeking the Lord and you've been reading your Bible, you ain't been talking about who's popular and who ain't popular, getting into all the gossip centers that's in the schools. I know they're in the church. I know they're in the school. I don't have to go to school. I know there's cliques in there. Some of you, if you want to fit in with those that believe they're popular, they're insecure. They're really insecure people. See, secure people, secure teenagers, secure. My granddaughter, when somebody don't want to play with her in school, we don't go getting her to bash them. We go getting her to walk in love at 8. And just say, well, if they really knew who you was, if they really knew you, baby, they would see how much they're missing out on. What am I doing? That their school system is not going to mold my granddaughter into being insecure, into feeling like she's got to fit in. She fits in with Jesus. She fits in with Papa. She fits in around because I don't tell her what the world is telling her. She won't even think about a girlfriend, boyfriend thing. Hey, we won't allow her thoughts to go there. Dumb. This world does it. Some of our teenagers, Mommy, I'm just so sad because Bobby started left me and now Bobby's going with my best friend. And then before you know it, oh, I'm so happy, Mommy, Bobby dumped my best friend. Can you see how the devil's trying to tear your world apart in school? Wait till you get 18 before you even think about looking at a guy. Where is he going to live? In Mommy's basement? I mean, he gripes about going to school all the time. That tells you he ain't going nowhere. That tells you he ain't got no vision for life. You know why I know? Because I was lost in school and the saved kids. After I got saved and I looked back and I thought, man, they were after straight A's and I'm wanting to lay out of school. But you know what? They made careers for themselves when they went on. And thank God His mercy and grace in 1994 had mercy on me. And I come in and I started being somebody after I got born again at 27 years old. Then I began to get in that Bible. I learned about fasting at church. Somebody say church. I mean, I want to see every one of y'all Monday if we have church. Tuesday, devil come to me one time just messing with me because pastoring is a weight. You know, pastoring's a weight. And so it always felt good when something happened and we could be off. Some of y'all pray, oh God, let him call off service. Let him call it off. They call the school off if a snowflake falls. Let the church be like the school. Man, I was on the school bus back yonder in the ice storms. They never called school off. They brought a bulldozer, man, to get us on to school. If I'd have knew Jesus, I'd have fasted to get out of school. Now, man, they just drop a hat and ain't no school for 3 weeks. Yeah. Then the parents are like, oh, my God, that's murder. What's wrong with these people? I was getting 5 hours of free time in the daytime. Now these little minions are here. They do, some of them think that way. I can't even go to my garden without I got 4 eyes out the window. I can walk out there and somehow they got, them two's got a knowing. They just feel something's out there. Praise the Lord. But you know what? They're the will of God. God told me one time when I'd lost my confidence and I'd quit praying, Johnny, and I'd quit fasting and I'd quit doing the things that made me strong spiritually. I felt like I was getting wore out. I felt like I'm tired of the battles. I'm you know, God, you've been good to me. You give me all the ministry I've ever asked you for. Man, I mean, every time, I mean, God just fulfilled me in ministry. I've never had to, you know, I mean, that's always been, so I'm sitting there and I'm like, just take me on home, Lord. I'm about 50, I guess. I wasn't that old. Yeah, about 48. Yeah. He's been here a while. Didn't he get old, baby? Right. Well, I'm down there and I'm feeling, I want to just quit. See, if you ever want to quit, you're at the threshold of the best time of your life. I mean, it's right there at your door if you don't quit. You quit, you don't experience. But if you don't quit, right then, I mean, it's a time to press. I mean, press on past your feelings and your emotions. Whatever you know to be the will of God, anything that gets in the way, God told me, He said, dream about your grandkids. And I'm like, oh man, I don't want to dream. Travis wasn't, was he married? No? Yeah, he's married. They didn't have no kids. And fact of the matter, it looked like they couldn't have kids. And so anyways, I'm like, oh well, you know, oh well. So I sat there and I just closed my eyes on my back porch. And I just imagine, a grandkids running across to my house. They going to live out there. They going to hug. And here they come. And I mean, on the inside, I'm like, ooh, that would be wonderful. To have an offspring from my son. See, my daddy never met my son. My daddy passed away 35 years ago, 36, 37, something like that, a long time ago. I think I was 20. 1920. So I understand all this. Oh, my dad. I got a real father. I got one that knew, that knows everything about a man, that knows everything about loneliness. Did you know God felt loneliness? God has feelings and emotions. That's why you do. We're created in the image and likeness of God. And so God felt everything Jesus felt. Because God, Jesus was God manifest in the flesh down here. He was God made flesh and dwelt among us. And so He went through every emotion you will ever have. Jesus took it on Him. Jesus took on fear and whipped it. Jesus took on oppression and whipped it. But we got one out here, our adversary, the devil, that is roaming to and fro looking for somebody that will yield to those emotions. Yield, cause that's what he works with. He works with thoughts and emotions. And so I came and I mean, I'm like, oh, Jesus, praise God, hallelujah, grandkid. I got him. I mean, I got him today. Aiden's sitting over there this morning up over there by me, and he says, hey, Papa. And I said, yeah, baby. He said, you think when I get bigger, he said, I can drive a monster truck to church? And I said, well, I don't know about all that. Well, I can't say because I don't know the will of God. Right? So I said, well, I don't know about all that. I said, we'll just have to see about that. See, instead of lying to him, I don't know. God may have him to have a Yugo and pull one of the spark plugs off. I mean, I don't know what's going to be up there at 16, 17. You know, of course, we got trackers now. You know, you put a tracker on there and Travis will say every now and then, best speed. I'm like, what? She's speeding. Wonder what she's doing there. I guess he got a notification on his phone. He'd be like, wonder where she's going. Where you going, babe? She's at Johnny's house. Go to school and go back to Johnny's house. Just camp out at Johnny's house. Johnny's house is the hot spot. You know? But I can't tell him that, Johnny. I don't know if you can drive a monster truck to school. And I said, well, I don't know about all that. He said, well, can I get a monster truck? He said, let's build a ramp, Papa. He said, and I'm going to jump it. He said, and then he said, but Papa, what if it turns over? I said, well, I'll take my tractor and turn it back over. Like that. And he said, oh, what if it catches on fire? I said, well, we'll get a fire extinguisher. He said, I'll be in there. I said, I'll spray you first. He said, oh, so the fire will just barely get me, and then you'll squash me with the extinguisher, and then I'll crawl out the window. I said, yeah, all of that. I'm like, see what an imagination this little boy's got? And I thought, if I fill it with God's thoughts and God's words, it's six years old. If I feel it, he's a dreamer. Kids are dreamers. Aubrey's a dreamer. But if I fill them with God's thoughts and they come up thinking God's way and they don't come up independent of God. See, y'all young kids, if you've not been raised in the Lord, you're independent. You're learning how to be independent. That's not good. You want to be dependent on the Lord. You don't want to learn. You don't want to be free. You think you're already free. See, Travis, he got up there 15. That's my son, in case y'all don't know. He's over there, and he's 16. And Mama tells him, you know, when you get 18 years old, you can come live with me, baby. So he's up there, and he gets a little brave, and he's like, when I get 18, I'm going to live with Mama. I said, yeah, and you're going to pay Papa, you're going to pay Daddy $50 a week to live with Mama. He said, what? I said, you're going to pay me $50 a week to live with Mama after you're 18. Busted that bubble. And so, you know, I mean, and then he's like, well, I just want free. All these rules and regulations and blah, blah, blah. Aubrey Nim's already saying it. Dad, you do anything you want to. We can't do nothing. But, you know, it may seem that way to the kids. There's a real devil. Who's to say that he's not injecting thoughts in their mind or in y'all's mind or your mind? I know he does mine. I know he tries to get me to think wrong thoughts. You're washed up. It ain't going to work out. The church ain't going to grow. They're not really changing. They don't give a about Jesus. Johnny's like, stop right there. And I can't get in agreement with him. You're right. Every time I get them up here and get them out of them diapers, they come back with panty pull-ups again. Got you out of diaper, now you got to get the panty pull-ups. Went in, but seemed went somewhere the other day, they had a dog in there with a diaper on. I'm like, God, are you serious? Look through there, and that dog got a baby diaper on. I'm like, man. I'm like, if that dog's trained at my house, he ain't going to get no diaper. He poops in the floor, he's going to get his nose shoved in it, spanked, and thrown out the door. Don't do it again. Next time he does it, we're going to eat half of it again. You going to train that dog? Don't put a diaper on it. You're saying, go ahead, but I go, just stay in here, baby. That dog will be 4 years old with a panty pull-up on it. Praise God. See, God wants me and you to be able to endure some hardship. Yes, hardship's here. Yes, hardship's coming. Hardship's going to come, but Jesus is coming. He tells us to occupy till he come. I went and tore up, they're saying, Jesus, he can come back any minute. He could. I mean, it don't really look good over yonder. He's going to protect Israel. If they go in really and they would take him out, he's coming back. You will not take Israel out. Will not. The Bible's true. I found out the will of God concerning Israel. God tells me to bless Israel. He'll bless those that bless Israel. That's why you've got the United States and the churches standing by. Well, did you know that you've been here a good while, you helped build an orphanage in Israel. We built an orphanage over there for those orphans. So we got our seed in Israel. Praise God. And did you know right now that if you're a tither, faithful tither in this church, that you're winning souls all over the world, not just because we're preaching all over the world. We are partners with ministry, have been for years and years and years, that we won't go by the finances here and say, we can't afford it. Hell, our bill went up to 900 something this month. See, that's the way you do your tithe. Y'all young kids, y'all to be tithing. Well, we ain't got no money. Well, that's why. It's your fault. We ain't got a job. Bible don't say nothing, 2 Corinthians 9, about you having a job. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. If you set out to tithe and honor God, Aiden sitting there this morning, he said, hey, Papa, you got any tithe money I can get? I said, sure I do. Pull my wallet out, see, he gives seed to the sower. Right? Papa, I could walk over, I thought, well, I got to be equal. Teresa says I got to be equal. No, but if I buy Aiden a $5 toy, I got to buy Aubrey something worth $5. It can't be Aubrey's is 20 and his is 18. You got to come up with two pieces of bubble gum or something. That's ludicrous to me. But anyhow, I walked around there and I hand Aubrey $1. And I said, yeah, baby, here's his. She said, Papa, I don't need your money. I got my own $2. I said, well, you got to be get it anyways because I give Aiden one. Just put it in there too. What happened? Give seed to the sower. The 9-year-old girl, I'm not saying this bragging on her, she didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. Broke my heart, son. I mean, I go to pray, nope, get my foot. Get my hair. She didn't want me getting her hand and praying when she's going to sleep at my house. So I wanted to go in there and get scissors, stick it in my pocket next Tuesday night, get my hair. Thank you, I got it. Should have had a heart attack. You mentioned cutting her hair, she goes haywire, and everything. But she didn't want to have nothing to do with Jesus. But you know what Papa kept on doing, Mom and him, I guess? I don't know, I'm not out there. But we kept driving it in her. Honor God. You got to honor God. And now, all of a sudden, she forgot her tithe one Sunday morning. She forgot her tithe money at home. And so, all of a sudden, little Miss Sandy over here wants to do an illustration. And so, Sandy calls on Aubrey. How about forgot her name? Sandy calls on Aubrey to do an illustration about tithes and offerings. And she ended up getting money left over from the illustration. She ended up getting money. And so it dawned on her, man, I forgot my tithe and God gave me seed. See, the Bible says He gives seed to the sower. See, y'all teenage girls, you think you don't need God? You need Him. I don't know if you're going to get a Mustang, a Corvette, or what all your dreams are when you get 16. But Mom and Daddy can't get it. I mean, if I had four kids right now, I'm like, y'all on y'all's own. Black God, I'm going to do you like my daddy did. Black God, my mama did give me a 1978 Ford station wagon. I mean, that sucker was 30 foot long. Had seats all down the back, one up there, one there, seats down the back. Then you had one seat flip up in the back here, and I put curtains all around in there, Rebel curtains. And I put me an AM radio, and I had 9 speakers in that AM radio system. And then I cut the muffler off, it was 30 foot long. I cut the muffler off of it. Praise God, where when I come down Berry Mountain, it goes plow, 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 and lit up the woods. I drove that thing around like I was a king. All these little sports guys going around in their 300 ZXs. You know, they're souped up 69s. You know, they're souped up Falcons. All of that, but I didn't care. I had a car. Oh, yeah, baby. I pull in, everybody leaves. But see, I learned after I got in here in the ministry and things that teenagers could sow seeds just like adults. They could believe God for the things they desire just like adults do. That God's Word don't discriminate between age. God's Word works. God's Word, wherever it's planted, wherever you find, I know it's God's will that y'all girls and y'all guys and y'all you, straight A's. Straight A's. That's God's will. God, don't tell me that. Don't tell me. We don't like to hear it either. I didn't like to hear it when God told me, love your enemies. I shut that Bible and I said, God, I don't like that. Why? Because I wanted some revenge on some folk here in Blount County. But God, I'd had some dealings and stuff, and I mean, I'd done set out that one day it's going to happen. They're going to reckon. They're going to get some reckoning. And so I get saved, and I didn't like to hear, you don't like to hear that, straight A's. The Bible says for you to have a good name is rather to be chosen than fine gold and silver. Not to get you kicked out of in the eighth, and you should have been in the 12th with an attitude, with the principles and all of that, and everything's everybody else's fault and not your fault. Attitudes about everything, griping about your teachers, griping about your coaches, griping about they give you a little bit too much potato when they dipped it on your plate and it went over into your macaroni. And then you go over there, sit down, mix it all together and gripe about it. See, it's you. Yeah, everything is you. Yeah. It's not the school. It's not your schoolmates. It's not your teachers. It's not your principal. You can look in the natural and say, well, you ain't in there. I don't have to be. I know that you don't have to yield to what you feel, what it looks like. You walk by faith. You trust God. You stay in the right spirit, and you endeavor to make straight A's. And God brings His favor and anointing on you because, look, you are going somewhere that all the other kids are not going. You might not know it, but you are going somewhere everybody else is not going. In God, in success, in marriage. I mean, you don't want to be jacked up like a bunch of your friends. Dumped 18 times by a guy or a girl, and you're an emotional wreck time you get out of the eighth grade. You're insecure. You don't believe you'll ever have anybody good. This culture and all these things, if you don't stay close to God, will have you thinking that way. See, I gave away a business that was grossing $500,000. Gave it away. Because God told me to. And then I started with nothing. But faith in God, just like I'm telling you. Faith in God. And you know what? I almost grossed that, I think, close this year. God told me 2 years ago, He said, I will do it again. I'll do it again. And then I'm telling you, because God is not a respecter of person, you may not ever be in business for yourself, but if you're employed by somebody, you be the best that you can be. You be the most diligent there. You be the one on time. You be the one that clocks out a minute after, praise God. You be the one that takes up that extra slack, because your promotion comes from God. I'm probably talking to Travis. But I'm not thinking about Travis. Ain't none of my business right now. Right now I'm here, you know. I don't think outside. I'm thinking here, you know. Praise God. Because your adversary has a plan for you. He wants you on your knees, not bowing to God. He wants you on your knees, weak and helpless and broken and hurting and can't see no way. I thought I will have to leave Blount County. God's called me to be a preacher. There ain't nobody in Blount County going to listen to a Weston, especially preaching love. So I'm thinking, well, man, Teresa used to just, I mean, we'd be 2 days gone. People wonder where we at, you know. And we'd be going to Florida. We'd get up one morning, we'd be like, pack your bag, let's go. I go trade for a school bus and different things and load up with produce, and we're headed to Florida, man. And people be like, wonder where Scotty then went. It got pretty normal. They'd be like, well, they're probably in Florida. We ain't telling nobody. Everybody's trying to stop us. Y'all don't go. Y'all don't need to go down there. You need to get a job, Scotty. I got a job. It's full-time. It's Teresa. I got to watch her full-time. I mean, it's a full-time. Got to make sure I don't lose her. I got to watch her full-time. I couldn't keep my eye on her with the job, Johnny. See, I didn't really know that I could cast all my cares over on the Lord. That I could give my wife to the Lord. That I didn't have to be concerned about losing my wife, hallelujah, to some man. Well, Satan tried to get me in that competitive spirit. See, he wants y'all competing over that little slick willy. Little favorite Bundo boy. He's probably gonna look like Pillsbury Doughboy when he gets up. Probably got about 20 years old when he eat what he want to, mom and them not making him not eat all that chicken fat and stuff, he probably going to swell up. Then you'll be like, Bobby, where did you go, baby? Bobby, where are you? I'm trying to get it where Teresa don't say, where are you? Because I mean, every time I go by Lucky's, I'm thinking I'm going grocery shopping. You know, and I'll be like, nah, man, I don't even like the grocery shop, because I go in there and get the flaming Cheetos and get the fire chips and bring home a bag full of Doritos and, I mean, you know, dip and all of that stuff, you know. I mean, then I walk by and then the brownies are looking good. I've never been a brownie eater. Then I go down there and they want to put me on a stress test. And he says, gosh, you've gained a little weight. And I'm like, yeah, like 6 pounds. I don't know where it come from. I have no idea where it come from, man. I mean, I ain't changed a whole lot other than Lucky's and, you know. And then I come in, Teresa, you're the devil. You're the devil. And I'm like, I'm not the devil, baby. It's me. The devil told you to stop by the grocery store because I'm trying to work on something here myself. And I'm thinking, oh, I love her. I'm going to carry some donuts. I love that baby. And so I get the donuts there and she pulls them out. That's the devil. And I'm like, no, it's me, baby. I did it because I love you. I did, really. Love her to death, she says. Love you all the way to the grave, yes. See, I don't mind her being fat. Don't bother me. You know, I mean, you stay warmer at night, man. You know. I got to stop. Can't be talking this ugly stuff. I didn't say nothing about ugly stuff. You know, you get, you. I mean, I was raised with a family of 17. And the majority of us was home with 3 bedrooms. And so we had a wood heater. And that was a lazy bunch. Lucky God, the winter time, I got pictures of me sitting out in my bloomers out on a 2x6 pile, warmer out there in the sun than it is in the house. Sitting out there in my underwear getting warm on a... I'm being serious. And so the more people in the bed, the happier I was. I'm getting in the middle, baby. I mean, I never got cold. That's what I'm talking about. I had about 6 or 8 of us on a half bed. Can you just imagine? You put Aubrey on my queen size and she'll kick you all night. Poof, poof. They couldn't nobody kick. I mean, you're squeezed in there in that half bed like sardines. See, you got, that's what, but you know what? Y'all parents, don't not let your kids endure some hardship. Let them endure some hardship, because that hardship will make them become stronger. It'll make them be a more determined person to succeed and to have a good life, praise God. And teach them to go after God. Be the example. We got to be the example. I'll tell you this, they got to close. I'm done 5 over. I didn't even get none of my scriptures. I knew it was going to happen. You know. But Travis, he's about 7, 8, I don't know, somewhere along in there. And in my house, we fasted. I took the scripture literally, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He never heard no cussing on that TV. He never seen no half-naked women on that TV. He never seen no half-naked men. Y'all teenagers think we don't know. Y'all been pulling stuff up on porn stuff. You got a phone and you got where you got your internet there. We know you ain't just... You're not, your halo ain't all the way straight. But we love you. I mean, that's why we keep saying this stuff, you know, and saying this stuff, and we're not lecturing you. We're warning you. We're warning you that stuff will get in you. It will affect you. It'll affect the way you think. It'll affect what you do. See, it'll affect the way you think about girls and boys, men and women. It'll cause you to get rebellious. Somebody told Travis one time, said, well, you know, a little pornography helps your marriage. And I told him, that's a lie from a pits of hell. You do not use pornography to have a better relationship in your marriage. You ask God in your bedroom. God in the bedroom? Are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. He's in there anyways. You might as well have said, Jesus, could you look away for a minute, please? You gotta get a little sugar here, and not honey. Travis is over there, and so I says, well, we're not gonna make him do without food, you know. But he has these PlayStation games, stuff that he liked. I mean, stuff that he liked, you know. I told him, I said, you're not gonna watch that. We're fasting today. I would do without food. Well, come in there, and I'm just making a point here. And he'd come in there, and I would have stickers put on the heater. Wherever he knew I was going to pass by, I hate fasting. And I'd be like, oh, hell, I know it. I hate fasting. I know it. I didn't go, well, son, we don't want to force you to like Jesus. Ain't that stupid? That's stupid gone deceived, man. You know. I mean, if he says, Dad, you know, I just want to experience what it would be if a semi smacked me right out in the middle of the road. I mean, I've watched these movies where it smacks them and they just roll off in the ditch. Are you going to sit and say, yeah, just do it, honey. Just do it. No, you ain't going to do it. You're going to say, I don't care what you watched on the movies. You get smacked by a Mac and you ain't coming back. So he's like, oh, I said, it don't matter. You don't have to like it. You're doing it. You're going to do it. You're going to live in my house. You are going to church. You going to church every time. I didn't make him go to revivals because, I mean, I'm hitting revivals, baby. Church is everything to me. And, And so I thought, well, I'll give him a break, you know. I'm not going to make him go to 3 revivals every week with me after church. Yeah, he went with me. You know, praise the Lord. But I didn't give him a choice. Where's he at today? He just led you in praise and worship. He's just now, him and Beth, able to get along on the sound booth back there. They're good at home, but boss, she's the boss up there. And so he goes messing with her, gets her all red from her cheeks up and all of that, you know, and she's going to kick him off the sound booth. You don't even work up here. I'm like, oh my God, I got to raise them in church now. Praise the Lord. But I didn't. You don't give your kids an option whether they're going to serve God or not. I mean, if they're 30, kick them out of the house. You're going to church at 30. If Travis was at my house, I'd be like, hey, son, get up. It's time to go to church this morning. I don't want to go, Dad. Pack your clothes. You're 32. You're supposed to be smarter than that. I would do it. Pack your clothes up. Where am I going? I don't know. Out of here. You're not going to stay down here while I go serve God and get all these blessings in this house and you sat down here and suck them up. Not going to happen. See, we don't give our kids a choice. Well, I got to be their friend. Last one told me that. They lost all their integrity with their kids. See, kids don't need a friend mama. They got friends in school. Y'all got friends in school? Everybody? Anybody? All of y'all? Every one of y'all. See? They don't need no friends. They got more friends than they really need. Some of them friends you need to go check out. Because some friends, see, when I got to quit. I've enjoyed this, though. Now, I'm not getting on to you. I promise you. I love you, every one of you, young and old. But see, this life is serious. The devil is serious, but God's serious. And the kingdom of God, see, faith is the currency to this kingdom. And when you find the will of God, you'll find faith in the will of God. And then when you do that, then 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight for it. You fight for it. You fight for the will of God. And all heaven and angels and the Holy all back you up in that fight. They're backing you. They're your rear guard. They're the ones that watches you all around. You're going forward. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, praise God. If you know the will of, most of y'all know the will of God concerning most things in your life. But the challenge is getting up, and I mean getting down and saying, I'm going to do the will of God. Hallelujah. And once you make your mind up, though, grace comes in. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. And we thank you this morning, Father, for the word. We thank